Okay, so we're up to Simen Chav Hei, Seif Yud Aleph. Acher shekosher shel yad al azraya, yaniach shel roish, koidim sheyichrech haritzua saviv hazraya. So we actually discussed this a little bit last time, that after one is kosher the tefillin shel yad on his arm, so one then puts on the tefillin shel roish. When? So this is not like our minig. Our minig is that we put on the shalyad and we do the kriches on the forearm. But the Mechaber is saying, he's quoting the minig, which is based on the rush, to put on the shal rush. And we said Rav Moshe Feinstein was noyig like this, that he would only do one or two kriches on the arm before putting on the shal rush. So that's the minig that the Mechaber is quoting now. V'yesh mishayimer, a separate halacha, she'aser lahoitzi tefillah shel roish mehatik ad she'tehei tefillah shel yad munachas. That it's aser to remove the tefillin shel roish from the tefillin bag until the tefillah shel yad is already on one's arm. We discussed last time the idea of ein mavirin ala mitzvahs. So he's alluding to what some may do, which is to take the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel roish out of the bag, then to put on the tefillin shel yad, then to put on the tefillin shel resh. So he says there are those that say that should not be done. Take out the tefillin shel yad and put it on. Leave the tefillin shel resh in the bag. After the tefillin shel yad is on, then take the tefillin shel resh out of the bag and put it on. I think that's what most people do, and this is the reason why. Haga, va'afim shneim lefanav chutz letik, or as we were just discussing, even if both of them are out of the bag, in the event that he took the shel roish out of the bag before putting on the shel yad, so he shouldn't continue in the spirit of the previous thing by removing both the shel yad and the shel roish from their plastic cases before putting on the shel yad. Rather, he should at least leave the tefillin shel roish in its plastic case and put on the tefillin shel yad first, and then take the tefillin shel roish out of its plastic case and put it on. Yesh mi shekasav, there are those that say, l'haniach shel yad miyushav, that the tefillin shel yad should be put on seated, v'shel roish mu'umad, and the tefillin shel roish should be put on standing. And indeed, I think we all know that till today, that's the minig of the Sfaradim, and it's based on a zayar. U'b'medinas elu loinagu kein, Ela Shtayan Mu'umid. The Ashkenazim have the minig to put on both the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel roish standing. And the Mishneh Berurah brings from the Vilna Gaon that he says that even according to the Zohar, one can put on the tefillin shel yad standing. L'maisa, everybody obviously should continue in their minig. Sfaradim put on the tefillin shel yad seated. Ashkenazim put on the tefillin shel yad standing. I don't like to use that word if I don't have to, but it sounds like it. Yes, I've never seen such a thing though. So maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some group. Tzarachian. Yud Beis. In meniach tefillin kama pa'amim bayoyim, tzarach levarach aleim b'chol pa'am. So let's say you have a person, he puts on tefillin by shachris, he puts on tefillin by mincha, and then 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he wants to put on tefillin again. So each time he puts on tefillin, he should make a bracha. Parenthetically, even though this has nothing to do with what we're talking about now, but I'll just mention, that's obviously only talking about tefillin of Rashi. Somebody puts on tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam in the afternoon, so he would not make a bracha. That's nobody. You don't make a bracha on tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam ever. I'm just mentioning it because there are some people who don't have time after davening to put on their Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, so they'll put it on for mincha or in the afternoon. There's an inyan to wear them by mincha, or just stam, whenever they have a moment, they'll put on their Rabbeinu Tam. That's not what this halacha is talking about. This halacha is talking about, let's say someone is making a bris, right? So he puts on tefillin for shachris, and then at 11 o'clock when he's making the bris, he puts on his tefillin again. So that's what he's talking about. He'll make a bracha every time he puts on the tefillin. Nishmatu mimkayman. This is an extremely important halacha, which people are not really aware of. Nishmatu mimkayman. If the tefillin slide out of place, and one puts them back into place. Tzarech levarech. So this is mamish, very, very negeh. A person, I mean, there's nothing really to explain. It's self-explanatory. If the tefillin move out of place. Now, the Mishnah Berurah clarifies, it's not talking about if part of the Shel Rosh moves out of place, but some of it is still in the right place. It's talking about where it's completely out of place, or if it's totally on the forehead, or something like that. So then a new bracha is required. That's the halacha. It's very negeya. Also, sometimes it's, we'll see, I think in the next halacha, or shortly after this, that it's aser for one to pass gez wearing his tefillin. So let's say somebody takes off his tefillin just for a second for that purpose, have to make a new bracha when they put the tefillin back on. There is one shita that is makel, but the opinion of most paiskim is that one has to make a bracha again.
So does that mean that we have a chapa that the bracha has to be lahaniach?
Which bracha would you make? Which bracha would you make? So
it's interesting, it's the Ramah that mentions it.
So if it's the he's saying if it's the tefillin shel roish that slipped out of place, I mean the truth is it could happen in the tefillin shel yad. I saw a fellow sitting in shul this morning and his shel yad had slipped all the way down. So really he has to put his shel yad on again and make
a
new bracha. That guy would make just the bracha on the shel yad. Yeah, so everything would depend on the situation. But it's an important halacha to be aware of. Again, if somebody did not make a bracha, there is a das yachid to be Saimech on, if I remember correctly, I think it's the Malbim. You know, Malbim is the Malbim. I'm not taking away, but I think the general, I think like 9 out of 10 Paiskim hold it. You do have to make a bracha. Hizizamim Kaimam, this is Mamish what we were talking now about passing gas. Hizizamim Kaimam Adaita Lachziram. Somebody removes them with the intention to put them back on in a minute. Tzarech Levarach, you have to make a new bracha. Some say not to make a bracha. Now this is talking about a different case where just stam, for whatever reason, you take it off and there's no hesach hadas. But the case that I'm talking about, if somebody takes it off for a second, let's say to pass gas, so you're not allowed to be wearing tefillin then. So that's an automatic hesach hadas and you have to make a new bracha. But if somebody just takes it off for whatever reason, right? But he's planning on putting it back in a minute or two, so then you would not have to make a bracha. So it's important for one to be able to differentiate between the different scenarios. If somebody goes to urinate, I believe when you put the tefillin back on, you don't have to make a bracha, because be'etzem, you're allowed to wear your tefillin when somebody goes to urinate. Rav Scheinberg and the other reshivas in Torah are, so some of them wear tefillin all day, and he used to go to the bathroom with his tefillin on. Obviously not for gdolim, only for ktanim. But since one doesn't have to take his tefillin off for that purpose, so then you would not have to make a new bracha. But for other purposes, then one would have to make a bracha. Yeah? Yeah? Gedalim. Gedalim. That's for to sit in the bathroom. But for urinating, one is allowed to do so wearing his talis and tefillin. Obviously, it should be covered. I'm not saying you should walk in there, you know, like that. But yeah.
Is there a differentiator between
it's for sure more kuladik in our bathrooms, but I think lemaisa the paiskim don't halacha lemaisa. They say there's no difference, even though in svara the pashas is that it's very different. But in other words, be'etzem it's negeya for thinking in Torah in the bathroom. There's a lot of halachas that it's negeya for where there would be a svara to be mekel, but the paiskim lemaisa are hesitant to employ that heter. So lemaisa we treat today's bathrooms the same as those in the time of Chazal, even though Be'etzem, it's not so pashut. For sure. Yeah, definitely.
By the way, in Sivkot Mem Dalit, it brings the Shlom, says during davening, we don't make bracha.
Yes, that's what that, I think that, if I remember correctly, it's a malum, is based on that. But that's, again, talking because there's no Hesach Hadas. But yeah, but again, but if you take it off even during davening, lahafiach behem, so then even lefi the shlo, the pashas says you would have to make a bracha. Ah, nishmatu einachanami, correct. If it's nishmatu, but that's a lot of times that's only that's where it's nishmatu. You're right. You're 100% correct. Although sometimes a person hasn't put it on correctly in the first place, So in that situation, one would have to make a bracha for sure. In a chanami. You're right. Yes.
So to be clear, you're davening somebody in the motions to your devotees offering. You don't have to make another bracha.
Pashtus, not, because usually it's not so off that usually part of it is still b'nei necha. It's I wouldn't say it's rare, but I hope you know it's not that far off. Yeah. Want to say something?
You learned before about going to the bathroom, and then you would have to wash your hands to say Reuven three times. So we would have to do that in our modern bathrooms also.
We don't hold that you have to wash your hands to say Reuven three times when you go to the bathroom. We hold you just have to wash your hands even without a kli. There is a shita like that, but I don't think that's not the minik. The minik is just any lechatchila. It's a good thing to wash your hands at least once with a kli. If you want to wash three times, very nice. But the meikar adin, just any netila, even without a kli after the bathroom is that's the ikar halacha. Okay. Misha meniach tefillin shel yad uberach ubetchilas hahiduk. Right, this is where we're up to. Yeah, Misha meniach tefillin shel yad. Somebody who puts on the tefillin shel yad, uberach, and he made the bracha, ubetchilas hahiduk nifsak hakesher, and it's not his lucky day. So as soon as he finished making the bracha, all of a sudden the ritzua snaps. Vehutzrach lases kesher acher. So what do you do? This is just a cute idea. I mean, hopefully it'll never happen to anybody. But you could just take the two parts of the ritzua and tie them together, right? So now you've got your ritzua is back in business. Okay, so amnam lo hisiachdaite. So he hasn't been involved in anything else. He didn't check his emails in the middle or anything like that. He just, the ritzua snapped, he tied the ritzua back together, and he was mamshich putting on his tefillin. So ein etzarech laser levarach. So in such an instance, you don't have to make a new bracha because there was no hesach hadas. Imhutar shel yad kaidem menachas shel reish. Now let's say you put on the shel yad. This is actually not such an uncommon scenario. A person puts on his tefillin shel yad and he's about to put on a shel reish, and then he sees that shel yad is not secure in the right spot. It's like moving around. So that's mamish this case. Imhutar shel yad kaidem menachas shel reish. It became loose before he put on his shel reish. Mahatkan. So you fix the shel yad. Ve'ein tzarech lachzer levarech. Why? Because you haven't yet put on your shel reish. So you're still Isaac with your tefillin shel yad, so there's no need to make a new bracha, you just put them on again. Avol imi niyah shel reish, but if you put on your shel reish, v'achar kach hutar shel yad, and only after that did the shel yad become loose or displaced, then, mahadik u'mevarech, so you re-put on your shel yad, as it were. And with a bracha, obviously. Mutil levarech al tefillin she'ulin v'loy al gezulin. So what's the chiddush that you can make a bracha on she'ulin? So you borrow someone's tefillin, what's the chiddush that you can make a bracha? Of course you can make a bracha. So Mishnah Berurah clarifies, we're talking about a case where you borrowed his tefillin without telling him. So I would think that is gezulin, right? It says, motel avarech al tefillin she'ulin v'loy al gezulin. Well, if you borrow it without telling him, salchari, that's gezulin. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's not called gezulin because the person is pleased for other people to use his chafetzim to do a mitzvah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah by Hilchos Tzitzis, if I remember correctly, I think he says that nowadays it's possible that this halacha is reversed. Because it used to be that tefillin weren't so expensive. Today, tefillin are very expensive. It's not so posh today that you're allowed to borrow somebody's tefillin without asking them. You have to ask a rav. It's not so posh. But I'll call upon him. I'm sorry? Yeah, that's definitely also a big part of it, correct? Over there, it's brought that if you borrow someone's tefillin, you have to put the kesher back the way it was, which is not, you're right, it's not so posh to borrow someone's tefillin without asking. In Nunbeis, Vafilu b'shoel, that's Nun Gimel. Yeah, okay, that's talking about a different case. That's a different discussion. But as far as what we're talking about, which halacha are you talking about? So that's the previous thing that we were discussing. Going backwards now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Correct. Yes. Now, again, if somebody stole tefillin, so then one does not make a bracha. Why? Because it's a mitzvah baba aveira, and he says you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Somebody makes a bracha on stolen tefillin. Now, if it went through a few pairs of hands, fell off the back of a truck, and then somebody bought it, and then he sold it to somebody else, so Mishnah Berurah discusses at what point it would, yes, be mutter to make a bracha on it, but if stam, it's a standard case of stolen tefillin, one cannot make a bracha on. Yud Gimel. Nagu ha'olam shalaylachlis tefillin an acher kedushas uvolatzi. And the minig is, hopefully, not to take off one's tefillin until after kedusha of uvolatzian. V'yesh misha, right? So that's kodesh, kodesh, kodesh of uvolatzian. V'yesh misha kosev al tzad ha-kabbalah shalaylachlis ad she'amar behem sholosh kedushos. Mishnah Berurah changes the gear, so over there, v'arba kadeshim. So take a look in the Mishnah Berurah. He makes the cheshbon of all the kedushas and the kadeshim and exactly when one has reached that point. The hainu la'achar kadesh yosayim. Not to take off the tefillin until that point. So the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Arizal not to take off one's tefillin until after Aleinu, because in Alkein Nekabelecha the tefillin are mentioned. So it's appropriate for one to be wearing that tefillin when saying the perek of Alkein Nekabelecha, meaning you should have your tefillin on until after Aleinu. And with the cheshbon of the Kadeshim, sometimes one would have to have the tefillin on until after the Kadesh, after Aleinu. Correct. Einachanami. So it's a lot of it is dependent on which nusach you daven. Correct. Uveyoyim sheyesh by sefer Torah noigim shelo lechaltzim ad sheyachzir sefer Torah v'yanichu behechol. On a day when there's Kriyas HaTorah, Mondays or Thursdays, one should keep the tefillin on until the sefer Torah has been put back in the Aron Kodesh. Now let's say this is a very common scenario. A person has to run out of davening after Kriyas HaTorah, so he'll take off his tefillin in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So the Mishnah Berurah says that it's highly inappropriate for one to remove the tefillin shel roish when the Sefer Torah is out. And therefore, tefillin shel yad is hidden, right? It's under the jacket, it's under the shirt. So it could slide off your shel roish. It's not considered to be zayin for the Sefer Torah. But to remove one's tefillin shel roish in front of the Sefer Torah is not appropriate. And therefore, somebody should either go outside or go to the side or enter Ezus Noshim or to try and do it in a way where it's not so brazen that he's taking off his tefillin in front of a Sefer Torah. Correct. Yes. Hagav, v'hainu b'magim shemachnisan ha-Torah la'acher ovalatzin, there you go. Aval ofi minig medina se'elu shemachnisan ha-Torah miyad la'acher ha-kriya ein l'chaltzim ra'akamay b'shar yam, you should wait until after all the Kadeshim or until after Aleinu or whatever it may be. As we all know, and there are different minhagim of exactly when to take it off. Some take it off in the middle of a volatzian. So, lemaisa, our minhag, I think the accepted practice is to take it off after the kaddish, before musaf, even though, again, that's not something that's universally agreed upon. But lemaisa, today, that I think is the minhag pretty much everywhere, at least by Ashkenazim. Why? Pashlis, the reason is because the only reason to take it off is for Musaf, and therefore we want to have them on right up until Musaf. And you want to chap in that last Kaddish also to have the tefillin on during that last Kaddish. That's Pashlis, the reason. And you're only taking it off for Musaf because of a technicality, like we'll see soon. But Be'etzem, we don't want to take them off earlier than necessary, even though Mitzad Sheni, there is a contrary idea of not wearing the tefillin longer than necessary, but it's two contrasting ideas, right? But that's why we want the tefillin on as long as possible because that's the way it's supposed to be. The minute to minimize the amount of time one has tefillin on, we'll see, I believe, is because one has to have a guf noki when wearing the tefillin, and because that's very difficult, so we try not to wear it for extra time. But this Kaddish is not extra. It's part of the tefillah. So, chatchila, one should have the tefillin on. So again, b'yom Rosh Chodesh chalitzin oisim koinim tefilas musaf. Hagav v'huadin v'chala moed v'dafka b'makam sh'ayim musaf kedushas keser. Right? Because this is what we were talking about, that when saying keser, so it says keser yitnu l'cha. Right? So it's inappropriate to be wearing tefillin, which is a keser, when we're saying keser yitnu l'cha. So that we don't want to be wearing. So he says, once we're not going to wear it by chazaras hashatz, so we don't wear the tefillin by Shemini Esrei either. V'adim b'chol mod v'dafka b'makom sh'ayim musaf kedushas keser mi'unoyim l'salgam koydem musaf b'chol makom, even where you don't say keser, right? We say naritzcha. Nevertheless, you still take off the tefillin before musaf b'chol makom in all places. Chavav din misha ein le'el tefilachas. Let's say a person only has one tefillah. He's one tefillah, meaning not shachris mincha ma'ariv, meaning shel yad or shel rosh. Person only has one of his tefillin. Im ein lo ela tefillah achas. Person only has the shel yad or the shel rosh. Meniach oisa. So we're the one sheyesh lo, the one that he has. Umevarech aleh, and you make a bracha on it. Shekol achas mitzvah b'fnei atzma. As we mentioned in the past, each one, the shel yad and the shel rosh, is a mitzvah. In other words, what this means is as follows, right? You could have two different scenarios. Scenario A, a person lost his tefillin shel rosh. Okay, so if a person lost his tefillin shel rosh, he put on his tefillin shel yad. Or a person lost his tefillin shel yad, so he should wear only his tefillin shel rosh. That's scenario A. Scenario B is that a person has a wound, right? And he's unable to put on his tefillin shel yad, or whatever it may be. The doctor told him, if you put on your tefillin shel yad, pikuach nefesh, you can't put on your tefillin shel yad. Okay? So you should put on his tefillin shel rosh. Now, Mishnah Berurah discusses a case, what if a person has both, but for whatever reason, he can only put on one, but he can put on either one. Okay? How such a case could happen, I'm not sure, but anything is shayach, right? Or, he gives a case, you don't have time. Right? The bus is leaving. You have to get to work, and the tender is leaving to work, and if you don't, you have exactly 30 seconds. So it's not enough time to put on both. You could put on one or the other. So should you put on your shel yad, or should you put on your shel rosh? What do you say? Which one? Shel rosh, why? Chashivus. So that's what the Yeshuas Yaakov says. The Malbim says that you should put on the shel yad, because which one goes first? The shel yad. So why should you be mishana the seder just because you only have the opportunity to put on one? This is machlokes. It's true that technically the shel rosh can't be on its own, but that's not the reason why we put on the shel yad first. You put on the shel yad first because muktam b'krok, shatim loisal yadecha. That's what the Malbim says. So just because I only have the opportunity to put on one, why should I be Mishana and the Seder? I'll put on the Shaila. It's the same Shaila. I don't know if it's a Tzushtel or not, but perhaps it's similar to a Shaila where somebody can only fast one day. Tzayim Gedalia or Yom Kippur. The doctor tells him, listen, you can fast on Tzayim Gedalia, but if you fast on Tzayim Gedalia, you're going to be so weak, you won't be able to fast on Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur is a day raisa. Tzayim Gedalia is not even a day abundance. So what should he do? B'charetz Pashit, he should not fast on Tzayim Gedalia, and he should fast on Yom Kippur. But a lot of poskim say, no, today is Tzayim Gedalia. Today you have to fast. Yom Kippur, you'll be an einus. You won't be able to fast. So you're an einus. You're potter from fasting. But now you have to do what you have to do now. So perhaps you could say it's the same thing over here. Now I have to put on tefillin. I only have time for one, so I'll stop after the shel yad, and that'll be it. That's what the Malbim says. The Yeshuas Yaakov says, like you, let's think for a moment. I only have time for one, so let me put on the one that's more kaddish. That's the shel rosh. Okay, machlekes apoyskin. Beis im ena miniach ela shel rosh levad mevarech ala al mitzvahs tefillin levad. If let's say someone is only, right, your case, let's say you hold like the Yeshuas Yaakov and you're only putting on your shel rosh, so the mechaber holds you only make one bracha on the tefillin shel rosh. Ulididon says the Rama, denayagin levarech b'chal yom shtei brachas, that every day you make two brachas, in other words, lahaniach on the yad and al mitzvahs on the shel rosh. So mevarech al shel rosh levad shtei brachas. So in any of these scenarios, if you lost your shel yad and you're only putting on the shel rosh, you only have time to put on one and you're putting on the shel rosh, whatever the case may be, if you're only putting on, be the whatever the case is, if you're only putting on Yishal Rosh, says the Rama, you make two brachas. V'meniach Shal Yad Levad, if let's say you hold, like the Malbim, and you're only putting on the Shal Yad, or you lost the Shal Rosh, or whatever it may be, Mevarech Lehaniach Levad, you'll only make one bracha. So when a person, just to clarify again, person's putting on his tefillin Shal Yad and his Shal Rosh, if he's Sfardi, he only makes one bracha Lehaniach on the Shal Yad, and that's it. Puts on the Shal Rosh without a second bracha. According to the Rama, you make two brachas. Lehaniach on the Shal Yad, Al Mitzis on the Shal Rosh. Let's say a person is only able to put on his Shal Yad. So if he's a Sfardi, he's going to make Lahaniach. If he's an Ashkenazi, he's also going to make Lahaniach. Let's say a person is going to only put on his Shal Rosh. So Lafi the Mechaber, he'll only make a bracha of Al Mitzvahs. And according to the Rama, he'll make two brachas of Lahaniach and Al Mitzvahs. Those are all, I think that... Not even. If he's putting on the Shal Rosh, he makes two brachas according to the Rama. Yes. So that covers all scenarios. Yeah.
What is his reasoning since you're not putting on the Shal Yad?
Because his reasoning is because really, according to the Rama, both brachas are going on both tefillin. When you make the Lahaniach, it's going also on the Shal Rosh. And when you make the Al Mitzvahs on the Shal Rosh, it's also going back on the Shal Yad. The two brachas work in tandem. The two mitzvahs are even though it's two separate deraisas, but the two mitzvahs are unified and work in tandem.
So why separate them? Why not put on both and then make both brachas?
Fakert, you know, why not make both brachas first and then put on both tefillin? Yeah. So I don't know the answer to that question. I'm making up an answer right now, but the pashtus is because each bracha is ideally specific to that mitzvah, but because the two mitzvahs are working together, so they work for each other. It's like not really an answer, but that's the answer. L'chaira. Okay. Would not be shaykh until you have the second one. Okay. Chav Zayin. Mokem hanachosan v'ayfen hanachosan. The placement of the tefillin. Aleph. Mokem hanachosan shal yad bizraya smoil. One places the tefillin on the left arm. Bebosar hatafuach. On the raised skin, what we call a muscle. Shebe'etzem shebein hakubadai ubeis hashechi. There's a bone, I don't know what it's called, maybe some of you do. There's a bone that runs from the shoulder and extends down to the elbow. A femur? Call it a femur? I don't know what it's called. There's a bone that extends from the shoulder down to the elbow, right? So in the middle of that muscle is the makam hatfilin, which happens to be, coincides with the area where the skin is raised, which is where the muscle is. So it has to be on the raised skin in the area in the midpoint of that bone. V'yata hatfila ma'at l'tzad haguf. The tefillin should be slightly tilted toward the body. V'inyan shekeshe yokuf hazraya l'mata yia keneged libay. So that when one bends the elbow, right, the tefillin are mamish snug up against his heart. V'nimtza mekayim v'hoyu hadvarim ha'ela al levavecha. Right? The tefillin are mamish on the heart. Literally. Hagav v'tzarech l'aniach b'reish ha'etzem ha'samach l'kubadai. So, for clarification purposes, what that means is as follows. There's a bone that runs from the elbow to the from the shoulder to the elbow. We're talking about the midpoint of the bone. Says the Rama, it should be on the midpoint of the bone and down, not on the midpoint of the bone and up. So that means that you really have very limited space for your tefillin shel yad. Why is that? Because there are two separate conditions. Condition one is that it has to be on the lower half of the bone. And condition number two is that it has to be on the muscle. So this area, there's no muscle. You only have a muscle from the midpoint of the bone till like here. So l'fi the Rama, you mamish, it's like a target practice. You have to mamish get the tefillin in the right spot, because if it's above the midway point of the bone, you're not going to be yaitz of the mitzvah. And the pashtus is that the mechaber agrees with the Rama. There are those that have a shtickel Torah that the mechaber holds something else. But the pashtus of the mechaber and the Rama is that the tefillin shel yad has to be the midway point of the bone or lower on the muscle. Now, Baruch Hashem, the Gra argues, and the Gra says it could be anywhere on the muscle. So that gives you a lot more leeway. So Lefi the Gra probably saves 80% of the world. But Lefi the Ramon, the Mechaber, it's quite likely that a great many people are not really Yotze the Mitzvah every day because they don't have the Tefillin Shel Yad in the correct place.
Is it that it can't be over, meaning that none of it can be over?
None of it. None of it. It's got to be entirely in the correct spot.
Like some Hasidic groups, they have a big...
Yeah, it's a correct. Yes, I didn't want to say that word, but yeah, it's a big problem. Yeah, I'm saying that. No, on the Shel Rosh, it's not such an issue, but on the Shel Yad, yeah, it's a big problem. It's a big, especially for Bar Mitzvah boys. I saw that yesterday with David Feinstein. He said for Bar Mitzvah boys, he could be Samech on the Gra, but Lemaiser Rebbe Yashiv himself had a small Shel Yad. Scheinberg had a small Shel Yad. There is an Indian to wear a small Shel Yad, even though I will point out we're really out of time, but let me just read the last two words. Gideim she'en la yad rak zraya yaniach b'loi bracha. A gideim, somebody who is an amputee, who's missing the hand, right, lo'aleinu, but he does have the forearm, so he puts on tefillin without a bracha. The reason for that, I'm sorry, I don't think I read that correctly. She'en la yad rak zraya, I think, means that he only has until the elbow. He only has until the elbow. So such a, if you have until the wrist, then you would make a bracha. The person only has until the elbow, so the Rama is saying that he should put on tefillin without a bracha. So that's the end of that. Just stam, off the record, or you could leave it on, whatever you want. Regarding what we were talking about a second ago, the size of the tefillin shel yad, yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that this Rama is a pella. He brings it from the smack. Now, the reason that the Gaon argues on the Rama and the Mechaber is because he says that's bechal not the pshat and the smack. The Rama and the Mechaber, that's not what the smack says. And the pashtus is, if you look it up, I'm not sticking my nose in between the Gra and the Rama and the Mechaber. I'm smarter than that. But Lamaisa, if you look it up and you read the words, it's pashut like the Gra. I'm not sure, like, I don't know, the Rama and the Mechaber are plia tzuma. There's l'chayr no mocker for their shita, which is what the Gain's taina is. So again, l'fi the Gain, the whole world is saved. But l'maisa, l'fi the Rama and the Mechaber, it's a big problem. So a person has to be very careful.
If you have a stump, why not put on the tefillin shel yad, put on the tefillin shel rosh, and then make both brachos?
A person has a stump, why not put on the tefillah shel yad and then put on the tefillah shel rosh? And no, because the shaila is if you're allowed to bechlal make the bracha on the shel yad. That's the problem.
So make them both.
But you're saying you would make two brachas anyway just on the shel rosh. Psh, you're asking a bomb kasha. I don't know, I have to look into it. But hashkafa rishayna, it sounds like an amazing kasha. Why would you not make a bracha? Fantastic kasha. I don't know. Let me check into it.